Once again, a greetings to you all. In the blessed name of our soon returning King, a warm welcome to each one of you. In this passage, as our chairman has read to us, particularly chapter 12, which we are going to look at, in this passage, the writer of Hebrews combined the themes of athletics and citizenship in this important 12th chapter. The illustration is that of the foot races in the Roman arena. First, the writer pictures the race, and that is from verses 1 to 13. And then he emphasizes the citizenship of the Christian believer in the heavenly city, from verses 14 to 29. In the mind of his readers, these two themes go together, because no one at that time, and they understood this, no one at that time could take part in the official games unless he was a citizen of the nation. And so it is for us, the Christian believer. We are, or as what we normally say, we have two citizenship, one on earth and one in heaven. And so therefore, it is appropriate for us also as citizens of heaven that we, from this chapter, gather very important lessons for us to live as pilgrims in this fast passing world. Now, one theme that runs through this chapter, chapter 12, is the word perseverance, endurance, translated as patient or patience in verse 1 of chapter 12. And then this is also repeated. This theme of patience and perseverance is repeated from verses 2 to 3. Set before him, endure the cross. And that is also referring to patient endurance. And also in chapter 10, verses 32 and 36, translated as patient. It is better. The Greek word gives us a stronger emphasis or force on this teaching, and that is the word endurance, perseverance, rather than patient. The Jewish believers who received this letter from the Apostle Paul, which we assume he is the writer, they were getting weary. They wanted to give up. And let us not forget, as I said before, for them to become a Christian, it is a very high price to pay. Unlike us. As I said, we have it too easy. For them to become a Christian, you really have to think four times or even more, because it means your life. It means your property. It means, as what we have read before, and our chairman has read it to us also just now, to be fed to the lions, under the edge of the sword, sawn asunder, stone, scourging, cruel mocking, torture, afflicted, tormented, living in caves, wander in deserts, no proper clothing, sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, living in the mountains, in caves and dens. And when we come to think of it, isn't it? Will you become a Christian? For them, they knew it right from the start, that if they become a Christian, this is what they may go through. And some of them went through it. Fire and water. But for us, what if you are told in the first place, you want to become a Christian? You may have to go through this. Were you? Or we later came to realize, after we became a Christian, then we realized, oh, the whole deal is next moment, You may have your job taken, your house taken. You may be sleeping on the streets. Will you give up? Oh, I have enough of this. You mean this is what I'm going to get through? You mean it's not blessing? Oh, then forget about it. But look at these Christians. They endure. That's why the word there, they, in fact, the word witnesses there is actually from the Greek word meaning where we get our English word martyr. So the Jewish believers who received this letter, they want to give up, but the writer urged them to keep pressing on, to persevere, to endure, to move forward in their Christian lives, just like runners on a race. And of course, you have the same or a parallel teaching from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Our subject this afternoon is the heavenward race. Are you in this race? And if you are in this race, have you gone weary, tired? Well, there is help. There is resources for us to go on in this race. And the writer here in this chapter, in fact, in just verse 1 or verse 1 to 4 or verse 1 to, in fact, verse 1 to 2 is enough to encourage us to not to give up, to persevere even though difficulties comes our way or difficulties arise and when the going gets tough. And the first resource available to the Christian is to look at the faithful witnesses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, the word indicates a duty follows after chapter 11. The Christian believers now, who are now exhorted to see or to look, look what? Look at the Old Testament believers. Look at all these faithful or some of these faithful witnesses in chapter 11. How they, in spite of many dangers and troubles, lived a life of faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus, followed him, persevered to the very end, and entered into the celestial city where their Redeemer awaits them. And so therefore, you see the word there, wherefore seeing, and we are to look. We are to look. There is a duty for us. Now I have shown you all these examples of faith. What we are to do next for you at your present time, in your station, in your present situation as believers, what you are to do. And so we read a great, we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses. The great cloud or the assembly or this whole group or this whole mass of witnesses was introduced to us already, as I said, in Hebrews 11. They are commonly called the heroes of the faith. I must point out that they are not heroes of themselves. They don't make themselves hero. They have no ability to make themselves heroes of faith. They were given the title as heroes of faith, so to speak, because of the redemptive work and power of Christ in their lives. It is in Christ that they became or so-called heroes of faith. And so it is also not suggested here that these men and women now in heaven are watching us as we run the race. That is not the correct interpretation. It is not as though there are people seated in the stadium and right now watching over us. They are unable to see us and we are unable to see them. And as I said, the word witnesses does not mean spectators. Our English word martyr, as I said, comes directly from the Greek word translated as witness. These people are not witnessing what we are doing. Rather, they are bearing witness to us that God can see us through, just as God did for them. What we should understand is they are in fact telling us, look at us. Look at us. It is in Christ and through Him that we are able to finish our race. And therefore, use us as an example and be assured, just as Christ did that for us, that He will also do it for you, the believers. A cloud of witnesses. Indeed, it is a very interesting word, a cloud of witnesses. And here it certainly does not speak of dark clouds or a menacing cloud, very threatening, that you will run away. No. Here it indicates that these witnesses are in the celestial city above, separated away from this dark, sinful, evil world. They are a group of happy people in the celestial sphere. So a cloud is an appropriate analogy. They are clothed with beauty and dignity. They are in glory right now with Christ. These are witnesses in the sense that their conduct, that their life was a testimony, was a witness in their day. And they prove that the Lord, and they prove the Lord to those around them. And God attested their testimony. That's what makes them witnesses. There is a double witness here. Their own testimony or their own witness and the attestation of God upon them. The God, you can say, authenticate their witnesses. And now we ask, in what way are we compassed or surrounded by them? Do they don't surround us in a sense of watching over us, as I said. They do surround us from the perspective of the inspired author of this letter to the Hebrews. You see, the writer here has in mind of the Old Testament. Now, for us, we have the whole scriptures. For those of us who are New Testament believers, we have the 66 books. We have the whole scripture. And this means each time or any time, every time, you take up the Bible and you open it to read it, you have, as it were, your head in the scripture. You are surrounded by witnesses, examples, demonstration of the power of God in the lives of individuals. That is the sense of it when the writer here says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Each time when you read the word of God and you open it up, it is as if you are surrounded by all. As you read chapters after chapter, passages after passages, it is as if all these examples right now, all these witnesses is speaking to you. And we, the Christian believers, we live in the scripture. The more you go on in the Christian life, you know and love your scriptures. And you depend upon it. And what else do? You draw from it for light, for comfort, for encouragement, for direction. And so thinking of yourself as a Christian and as somebody immersed in scripture, you are surrounded by those who witness, who are examples to you. And God put His witness upon them to authenticate them also. That is the sense in which the inspired author writes. And that is why the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 15, verse 4 tells us, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So in this verse, Romans 15 verse 4, we have again the word patience. It also means endurance, perseverance. And then we have another word there in 15 verse 4, Romans. The word comfort, it means encouragement. Therefore, for us, the New Testament believers, one of the best ways to learn, for us to learn and to cultivate the fruit of perseverance, the fruit of endurance, the fruit of pressing on and not giving up, to endure is, and to receive encouragement, is to get to know, study, examine, and look at the godly and faithful men and women of the Old Testament. They are for our learning, as Paul says, who ran their race and who were triumphant. Look at their lives. Look at their example. Of course, also we can look at their failure too and learn from their mistake. Look at how the Lord Jesus fulfilled his promise in their lives and how God enabled them through his Holy Spirit to endure and to live lives that honor Christ to the very end through the power of his Holy Spirit. So brethren, and if you are a believer, when you are having, for example, having issues with your family, read about Joseph, the life of Joseph. If you think your responsibility that you are having right now is too big for you, overwhelming, study the life of Moses. If you are tempted to retaliate, seek vengeance, look at how David handled this threat. These are just some examples we can look to, and I'm sure you know many more in the Old Testament. Another source or resource available to the Christian to run the heavenward race is to look at yourself. Let us lay aside every weight. Look at yourself. Athletes used to wear training weights, and I'm sure you know, some of you, to help them to prepare for the events. No athlete would actually participate wearing the weights. It is only for their training. But on the actual race, they will put it away because that would slow them down. Too much weight would tax one's endurance. So what are the weights that the writer is referring to that we should remove so that we might run the race and win or overcome? Well, the answer is very simple, which I have actually pointed out this morning in my sermon. What are the weights that we should remove so that we might not be hindered or slow down in our race? Everything and anyone in our lives that hinders our progress. I repeat, anything, everything, or anyone, whoever that one may be, anything, whatever that thing may be, that hinders our progress. They might even be good things necessary for our eyes, are necessary for our lives, but we ought to be very careful. We need to identify those ways that hinders us. Is it my study? Is it my job? Is my study taking too much of my time and energy that takes away my time with God, with His Word, with prayer, with my devotion, with my worship? Is it my family? Is it my children? Is it my spouse? Is it my hobby? Is it my recreation? And as I say, oh, I forgot one more. Even the responsibility in the church, say for example, you are serving as a Bible study leader, as a Sunday school teacher, or even as a pastor or whatever, that can be even those things that are legitimate, necessary good may be the weight that you have to perhaps put off. So here it means laying aside, have the sense of putting off, laying aside. And of course, that means we have to pray and seek the Lord's help through His Holy Spirit to show us which weight need to be removed so that we can set our priorities right. I repeat, that is a very important last point there. Set your priorities right. Do not misunderstand me and think that, oh, okay, therefore, the teaching here is that I don't care. I don't need to put in my heart and soul in my study, in my job, in my family. Just no, it is doesn't mean that. It means which one come first again. More time for Jesus and His word or more time for my study. You have to balance that up. More time for my job, more time for my career or whatever. You have to decide. And therefore, I say we need to pray that the Lord will show us, to give us wisdom so that we may make the right choice and set our priorities right. And in simple terms, as I said before this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ must be first place in your heart. Not someone else, not anything else. Then here we move on. We are told also to do what? The sin. Lay aside every weight and lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. And it's very interesting. The word there, beset, means or can be rendered as to distract, to prevent or to retard running, to slow you down, to hinder you. Sin. And here, the writer may not be very clear in that sense, but one thing we can understand from the point is that we Christian believers, we still have that old nature in us. Albeit that old nature is subdued, but always remember that old nature, though subdued, or is always seeking the opportunity to search forward, to search forward, to come forward, to surface. And there is this, as we have considered in our last sermon, the battle within. There is always this tussle between the old nature and the new in us. Albeit the old nature may be subdued, but it is always ready, seeking every chance and opportunity to come forward. And we are here, as the writer puts it, that which doth so easily. Yes, indeed. We are very forgetful people. We are not very careful. And therefore, we ought to be watchful. And Paul says what? To be vigilant, watching unto prayer. Because so easily, so quickly, we allow this old nature of this sin to come and overtake us, isn't it? And so therefore we ought to pray again to seek the Lord's help, because in and of ourselves, we are not able to. We need the help of God through His Holy Spirit to help us. Help us not to forget. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be very careful. As I said, even those things that are good and necessary may be the one that besets us. And so while the writer does not specify a particular sin, the writer was probably referring to the sin of unbelief, because it was the sin of unbelief that kept the Israelite out of the promised land. And it is unbelief that hinders us, the Christian believers, from entering into our spiritual inheritance in Christ. The phrase there, by faith, all right, by faith or through faith, is used, which we read in the scripture, not here in this text, But the phrase by faith or through faith is actually used 21. It's referring to chapter 11 and not chapter 12. By faith or through faith, you know, by faith, Joseph, when he died, by faith, Moses. This phrase is used 21 times in Hebrews 11. And this indicates that it is faith in Christ that enables these heroes of faith to persevere and to endure to the very end. It is putting their trust in Christ, calling out upon to the Lord Jesus for help and strength that keeps them going. And that's how they finally persevere and enter into the celestial city. The third resource available to the Christian runner is to look at the Lord Jesus. And that is obvious because we see here in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Because in the first verse we see, wherefore seeing. And now second, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is indeed author. The word author there means the founder. And not only the founder, the finisher or the one who complete our faith. You can put it that way. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus is the originator, the author and finisher of our faith. It is in looking to him, the Lord Jesus, that we are saved. It is in trusting him. It is in putting our faith not in the word of God per se, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For to look means to trust. Looking unto Jesus means to trust the Lord Jesus. Who is he? He is the author, the founder of our faith, and also the one who completes it, and he will see through it. And so when the dying Jews in the Old Testament, when they are instructed to look to the uplifted serpent, they were healed. And so this is an illustration, or that is an illustration of our salvation through faith in Christ. Looking unto Jesus describes an attitude of faith and not just a single act. When our Lord Jesus was here on earth during his earthly ministry, how did our Lord Jesus live his life? As the Son of God, and you can say as a Christian in that sense, he lived by faith. The mystery of his divine and human nature is too profound for us to understand fully. We put that aside per se. But we do know that our Lord Jesus had to trust his heavenly Father in heaven to live his daily life, because he prayed. He spends time praying. Besides bringing the gospel to others in his earthly ministry, he spends time to pray. He do the will of the Father. The writer of Hebrews quoted our Lord Jesus saying, I will put my trust in him, in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 13. And that quotation is sort of from Isaiah chapter 8 verse 17 in the Old Testament. And so the fact that the Lord Jesus prayed is evidence that he lived by faith. Our Lord Jesus endured far more than any of the heroes of faith named in Hebrews chapter 11. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect and ultimate example for us to follow. And so therefore, as Christian believers, not only do we have right now a cloud of witnesses, more importantly, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate example. Look at how he lived his life of faith during his earthly ministry. And seeking him, he promised that he will also help you. And so he endured the cross. And this involved shame, suffering, contradiction, excruciating pain, by the way, humiliation from sinners, and even temporary rejection by God the Father. On the cross, he suffered for all the sins of the people of this world. Yet he endured and finished the work of God that God gave to him. Though the readers of Hebrew has suffered persecution, so the writer of Hebrews said to these Jewish believers, though you suffer indeed, but what? Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And in fact, more so for us. In Hebrews 12:4, ye have not resisted unto blood, but our Lord Jesus, in his battle, on the cross, he shed his blood for us. And so therefore, looking unto Jesus is a good way, or in fact the best way, for us to persevere and to endure. And I want us to look very carefully also at the word set or beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It is a set race. It is not running your race. It is not running the way that you set it for yourself. Oh, I want to, yes, I'm a Christian, but I want to live my life my way. I want to run this race my way, my style, and do as I want it. Not according to the race that is set, because it is set for us, the Christian believers. Set where? Set in the Word of God. Set in the Word of God. But before that, I just want to say again that this is what enabled our Lord Jesus to endure. Faith in God, His Father. So please keep in mind that during Christ's ministry on earth, our Lord Jesus did not use His divine power for His own personal needs. Satan tempted him to do this, but the Lord Jesus refused. It was the Lord's faith, his faith in God the Father, that enabled him to endure. He kept the eye of faith on the joy that was set before him. And from Psalm 16 verses 8 to 10, Christ knew that he come out of the tomb alive. And in fact, the Apostle Peter refer to this messianic psalm in Psalm 16 at his sermon, or for his sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 24 to 33. And in that psalm, Psalm 16 verse 11, David speaks of what? Fullness of joy in the presence of the Father. And also from Psalm 110 verses 1 and 4, the Lord Jesus knew that he would be exalted to heaven in glory. And so the Lord Jesus here, we are told to look to him. And our Lord Jesus here, we are told what? For the joy that was set before him. It is not just for his joy, by the way. Look at the word there, is the joy, not his joy. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not, in a sense that, okay, I'm now on the cross. For the sake of the joy that is waiting for me, I endure. No, not that. It's more than that. It is the joy that he himself secure for us also. It is not just the joy that he will be entering, or rather returning back to heaven and sit at the right hand of God that motivated him or that enabled him to endure the cross. But no, he is also doing that enduring for the joy, our joy, his joy, together. And that is why that so-called motivated him or kept him going. The joy that was set before him, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here the word despising, which is seldom explained, here means that the Lord Jesus does not count or regard all this shame and all this humiliation done to him. They punch him, they scourge him, they whip him, they spit on him, they ridicule him, they make fun of him. Our Lord Jesus despised all this, counted all, disregard all this. Why? For the joy that was set before him. The joy for his people, which he was secure for his people, and the joy that he will be back to the Father at the right hand of the throne of God. And so the joy that was set before him would include Jesus' completing the Father's will, his resurrection and exaltation, and his joy in presenting us, the believers, to God the Father in glory. And this is in Jude 24. Throughout this epistle, the writer emphasized the importance of the future hope. And so his readers, because his readers, the Jewish believers who are suffering, they are prone. And like us, we too, we grow weary, we want to give up, we look back, and we want to go back, we want to give it up. But he encouraged them to follow Christ's example and look ahead. How? By faith. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The heroes of faith named in the previous chapter live for the future. I said this before, and this enabled them to endure. And that is why I said in my last sermon, we Christian believers ought to and pray about it, that the Lord will help us to what? To live each day with heaven's perspective in view. To live each day with eternity in view. To live each day remembering that this world is not our final destination. That's how we ought to live our lives as New Testament believers. And just for them, the Old Testament, they what? They look for a city afar off. They did not look for an earthly city. They lived each day looking at the city afar off, the coming city, the celestial city. And so we are to do likewise. Like the Apostle Peter, when we get our eyes of faith off the Lord Jesus, then what happened? We start to sink just like him. And since Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, there is no reason, there is no excuses that we are not able to, because we have a great cloud of witnesses, and we, more importantly, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, relying on him, dependent upon him, seeking after him, will result in the work or the power of the Holy Spirit released in our lives. And we will be able to endure and to persevere and to press on and run our race till the very end. And we too, like the Old Testament believers, enter into that celestial city to join this group as cloud of witnesses too. To the Christian believers, Christ is both the exemplar and the enabler. As we see him in the world and yield to his Holy Spirit, as we seek his help, the Lord Jesus increases our faith and enable us to run and finish that race that is set before us, for each one of us. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again that though we are living in this sin-cursed world, full of misery, sorrow, pain, danger, O Lord, we give thanks to thee that you have given to us all the spiritual privileges and means of grace for us to run our race, for us to continue to walk this pilgrim journey till the very end. And so help us from this point onward that we may constantly remember. May your Holy Spirit bring to remembrance that we have our Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, for our example, for our help. And we have a great cloud of witnesses who ran that race in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we too are able to. Help us, O Lord, we pray, during this week, to remember thee, to diligently seek after you. And indeed, Lord, help us, we pray once again, that you will help us to set our heart on the Lord Jesus, to make him first place in our hearts. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.